Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you very much for joining myself and Kathleen here this afternoon for this session, Service Delivery and Automation, Configuring and Deploying. I'm really excited to be here this year. This has been a year's journey for myself and the other team members on the System Center product management team in bringing to the market and making available what you're going to be seeing today and over the next number of days around System Center 2012 and the new capabilities. Last MMS, we had a sneak peek session on Service Manager 2012 and some of the stuff coming about with System Center 2012. Now we can actually really show you, hey, guess what? This is now available or will be available and is the focus of today's session. What I'm going to spend time talking about is this area of service delivery and automation, which really focuses from a component level on two key areas of the System Center product suite, Service Manager and Orchestrator. I'm not going to talk about Service Manager 2010. I'm not going to talk about Opalis. This is purely about Service Manager, the 2012 component of Service Manager, and the 2012 component of Orchestrator as part of System Center 2012, all working together. And we're going to talk about three areas that these two components support in this area of service delivery and automation. First one is this area of standardization. How do we, from an IT perspective, an IT professional, IT department perspective, deliver standardized offerings that our consumers can consume? Following on from that, how do we deliver a self-service experience so that we make it easy for our customers to access the resources they want, when they want, to the level of service and cost that they desire, without having to have the resources sitting there on the back end waiting for requests to come in and fulfill them? And, oh, what happens if all of a sudden you get 50 at the same time? What happens? How do we take that into account? And the last area is this area around systems automation. How do we drive greater operational return on investment, make it more effective, give time back to you from an IT pro standpoint by automating work so that you can focus on all those other things that you never get a chance to do at the end of the day because there was just never enough time or other things came up that took your time away. It was that busy work. We'll have some demos throughout this, and in some of these demos, just to make sure that, yeah, the techie guy is not trying to bring smoke and mirrors, I brought along Kathleen Wilson from our services team. She's our IT service management community lead within Microsoft. And she's going to help out with some of the demos as well, just to show you that, hey, it's not just, this is stuff that brings together IT process and IT technology together to deliver a greater experience for your users. So this is a slide you will see a couple of times throughout this week. When we think about System Center 2012, from a cloud and data center management perspective, there's really three areas that we focus on. First one is we focus on making your infrastructure productive, not just by using System Center and Windows, but by really leveraging the infrastructure that you and your companies have already made investments in, giving you the ability to deliver those flexible and cost-effective solutions, leveraging heterogeneous environments, not just Microsoft technologies, not just Hyper-V, but Citrix, VMware, leveraging those to be able to deliver these services. So applying the same concept around service delivery and automation, but not just to the Microsoft stack. Process automation, being able to get what I call the busy work off your plates, so that you can focus on activities that are more and more effective and more valuable to the businesses that you serve and that you work for. And the third area in productive infrastructure is about having a self-service infrastructure, making it possible for your customers to serve themselves within controlled boundaries, so you don't give them the keys to the shop and say, go grab whatever you want. It's, here's what we're going to allow you to do, and here's the constraints that we're going to give to you, and here's the activities that we're going to allow our customers to do for themselves without always having to call us. Second area we focus on is this area of predictable applications, providing deep application monitoring diagnosis for your apps, for your business and line of business applications, because that's what powers your business. That's how the money flows through your organization. providing a comprehensive application manageability capability, perspective, being able to manage your applications, whether it is the code, the servers, the operating systems, or the network infrastructure that makes it all up. And with that, taking a service-centric approach to managing your applications, being able to look at those applications as the service that it is, made up of all those different components, and being able to have a view of those within your organization. And the third area is what we call your cloud. Cloud computing, private cloud computing, is, yes, there is capabilities. You have Azure. You have other services that provide public cloud capabilities. Private cloud is about taking those same tenets of cloud computing, elasticity, flexibility, self-service, and bringing it and giving yourselves control of it within your environment so that no one outside of your organization can access it, but you can grow and collapse services as you need to. You can provide self-service infrastructure. You can manage your environments effectively and efficiently. And it's about System Center 2012 is about making, bringing that into your organization and giving you the benefits within your environment, not just having to always go outside. But at the same time, if you choose to, you can manage both those private and public cloud resources from a single pane of glass. I get the fun part, from a service delivery and automation standpoint, of touching each one of these areas. Whether it is productive infrastructure and driving process automation, all the way through to cloud capabilities and delivering flexibility and delegation with control. Now, System Center has, System Center also helps drive what we call IT as a service. And it starts with these two roles, the application owner and the data center administrator. From an application owner perspective, they're interested, if Kathleen over here is my application owner, they want to be able to access the resources she wants, when she wants, and make her own choices. Now, myself as a data center admin, I want to be able to deliver those capabilities to her, but I want to give her some boundaries to play with it. So we have a self-service capability and for the applications that she wants to work within. But wrapped into those applications are the configuration, how they're set up, what resources required, how should they scale, what sort of availability. This is what we call a service model for that application. Wrapped around that is the process, or what we call service delivery and automation capabilities for those applications. The process and systems level automation and controls to ensure that we're delivering these applications, we're delivering these services effectively and efficiently from IT to the business. And then reaching down into the technology layer, we have the necessary tools to both configure and deploy those applications and services into either public, private, virtual, or physical environments, and then monitor those and run them for performance and visibility, and provide that visibility of how they are performing back to my application owners, not just at the component level, but how are they working together. And at the application layer, down into the level of the code. And you'll see sessions about this all this week, about how we take these components, wrap them together to deliver what we call IT as a service. Now, System Center spans all of these areas, whether it is App Controller and Service Manager for the self-service experience, Orchestrator and Service Manager around service delivery and automation, and then Virtual Machine Manager, Operations Manager, Configuration Manager, Data Protection Manager, down at the infrastructure layer. As a group, we've broken these up into three key areas. And if you've watched any of our online trainings with Private Cloud Jumpstart or Microsoft Virtual Academy, you would have seen these areas already articulated. Application management, service delivery and automation, and infrastructure management is how we've broken these up. From a service delivery and automation standpoint, I want to even step back further from what I just showed you and conceptually describe what I call the service consumer and the service provider. Having done IT service management consulting along with Kathleen for more of the years than I care to remember, not working with you, We have these concepts of a provider and a consumer. It is an interdependent relationship where we have, as a provider, a task of standardizing what are the offerings I'm going to make available to my consumers so that they get almost a menu list when they come to IT. My consumers can access those resources, those offerings, when they want, so I don't always have to be there. And I have the automation, both from a process and a systems level perspective, to deliver on those requests to my consumers. Now, by process automation, the examples are request approvals, assignment routing, notifications. Who needs to be made aware of a request? Who needs to approve what is happening? From a systems level, it's physically what systems do we need to touch in order to deliver and fulfill those requests.
And if I could add to that, because you know the consumers have been very frustrated in the past of how we deliver IT service to them because they realize it only takes a little time to spin up a virtual machine, but you're waiting for someone to come back from their coffee break or from lunch to do it. So if we look at ruthless standardization, automating it and allowing people to do self-service increases customer satisfaction or your service consumer satisfaction with the service delivery. Because they, I guess our service consumers are much more savvy these days, as I would say. And they understand, right, it's not smoke and mirrors anymore. They know it doesn't take that long to do it. And also, too, the fact is we've gone through quite a few hard times, so you have to do more with less. Right? And we're always hearing that. You don't get any more money in operations, so let's do more with less.
Another way of looking at it, too, is they know it may not take very long, but they don't necessarily understand our internal infrastructure. And what we're presenting is here's a way you can take your existing infrastructure and change the way you're managing it so that you can respond more effectively to those requests. So that the customers don't get fed up with what we're trying to do and help maintain controls of our IT environment, they'll just go and provision what they need from somebody else. Yeah. And we see IT departments getting bypassed by certain lines of business. Does this sound familiar to anybody? I'm seeing heads nodding up and down. Yes.
We could do a quick poll, too. Is like, how many people in this audience are here specifically to learn about the cloud, this MMS? By a show of hands, the lights are too bright, so head bobbing, I can't see. I'm absolutely blinded up here. So that's it. Yep. Okay.
Who's played with Service Manager and Orchestrator before?
2010? Okay. Well, then, okay. We've got it. We don't have to sell
that's
it.
That's true. I don't have to,
sell it.
Well, that was only half the room, so we got to keep going.
We have the other half to convert.
Yes. So let's look at an architecture of how this all fits together. So we talked about standardization, self-service, and automation. How this comes together from a technology standpoint is in a couple of areas. First off, at standardization layer, we think about and we articulate the CMDB, or Configuration Management Database. CMDB, this is a term that came out of the IT Infrastructure Library, or ITIL framework, that essentially is a database or a data repository that has two unique things about it that differentiates it from a simple asset register. One, it contains the information about your configuration items or your pieces of infrastructure in your environment. And two, anybody want to guess?
Can I?
No. She does this all the time, too. Relationships. The relationships between your configuration items. This is the key differentiator for a configuration management database. You need to know, and as IT professionals, we kind of, sometimes it's just in our heads. Remember the old song? The wrists connected to the arm, connected to the arm, connected to the... But we understand how our infrastructure is connected to other pieces of the infrastructure. The server is connected to the router, connected to the switch, connected to the other server, connected to the application, you know, and so on and so forth. Our users don't. CMDBs allow us to establish and have those relationships, that understanding of how our infrastructure is put together so that we can better, one, standardize on what we know is in our environment, and two, make it easier to deliver those services and that we're not duplicating efforts. I talk a little bit more about this in tomorrow, my session tomorrow, from a monitoring and operating perspective for service delivery and automation. But for purposes today, your CMDB provides you that standardized base from which to then deliver services back to our customers. Self-service, how do we make it easy for people to consume resources? Whether it is accessing it via the portal, sending an email, using a mobile client, whether it's a browser use or mobile client on your phone that I have seen customers build for themselves, or accessing self-service reporting through our data warehouse and reporting services. And lastly, from an automation point of view, it is automation across really three areas. One, the rest of the system center components. Virtual machine manager, operations manager, configuration manager, service manager, orchestrator, data protection manager, take your pick. Windows Server, specifically Active Directory. And this is one thing I really like saying because we used to not be able to. Third-party management tools. We can build and automate our tasks across BMC, VMware, HP. In fact, I got an HP example here in the presentation. To drive provisioning activities, not just for the System Center stack, not just for the Microsoft stack, but for other third-party management tools. So if you've got other tools in your environment, you can leverage System Center to actually integrate to those without spending a whole lot of money building an integration. It's more like drag and drop, create a Visio drawing to build those integrations to external systems. And again, as I said, I've got a real-life example of it here in the presentation. You can actually go see the end product and talk to the engineer that built it downstairs a little bit later. So I want to spend time walking through really a six-step process. And it's going to go fairly fast, but I want to preface everything that you see in today's session and any one of the sessions that I'm delivering is look at these as overview sessions of which there is a deeper dive discussion, deeper dive breakout into each one of these areas over the course of this week. So what I'm going to walk through at a higher level here, a couple of our program managers, Travis Wright and a few others, are actually going to go and rip off the covers and actually build all this in front of your eyes. So if you are really interested, grab their session.
And there's some labs too this week that
Absolutely.
Address this. So again, we have self-paced labs and also instructor-led labs.
So this is called the automated request fulfillment in six steps. We're going to talk about how we import virtual machine runbook information and data into Service Manager from Orchestrator and the other components of System Center, how we use that to build our request offerings, how we publish those to a service catalog. Yes, we have a service catalog now. So that customers can create their own requests for service. We then invoke the necessary runbooks to go and build those services, and we monitor for progress throughout its life cycle. Sound okay? Let's get going. So, configuring and deploying, I mentioned, for service delivery and automation is about standardization of offerings, the services we're offering, the requests we're going to make available to our end users, and the processes to deliver them. Self-service is about giving controlled empowerment to our end users to be able to access what they want, when they want, to the level of service and cost that they desire. Third thing is automation. Automation of processes, automation of systems tasks to deliver on these requests for our end users. Standardization. I work in threes, can't you tell? Standardization focuses, again, in three areas. How we grab our configuration item data and our runbook automation information, bring it together, reconcile it automatically, so that we can then turn around and provision standardized services back to our customers. Standardizing service and request offerings. How do we deliver a standard menu of offerings to our end users so that they can select what they want when they want? Automation, how do we drive the standardized processes and systems when we're delivering it? So, how do we import runbook and CI data? CI stands for configuration items, into Service Manager CMDB. We start with, from Virtual Machine Manager, using our connector framework in Service Manager, we get data such as service templates, virtual machine templates, storage classifications, logical networks, load balancers, load balancer VIP templates, stuff that VMM knows about. Through Operations Manager, we get more server information, client information, hardware, websites, databases, so on and so forth. Did I already say servers before?
Yeah.
I did. Oh, you got it twice. I'll come back to that. Configuration Manager, computers, which include servers, hardware, software, primary user information, caveat, provided you have asset intelligence turned on.
Yeah, and you have to have three things ticked off. It doesn't matter if you just run it. You have to have processor data.
We also get desired configuration management information out of Config Manager. Now, I've mentioned servers and computers three times already. One thing to note is, yes, we have three different connectors to three different components in System Center collecting information basically on the same thing. Who thinks you're going to get three separate entries in the CMDB? One person.
That's it.
Great.
We've converted the rest.
We've converted the rest. Fantastic. The answer is no. You don't. We, and I mentioned this once already, but one of the benefits that Service Manager provides our customers is we built the reconciliation of data from these other repositories automatically into the product, into the component. Yay! Speaking as one who used to work for an organization that built another CMDB, that usually refers to very large atrium-like
oil tankers. You worked for an oil tanker?
Oil tanker? No.
No. Okay.
It was a little three-letter acronym company that I won't talk about. We could build using Service Manager. We've had customers download our product, install it, configure it, and have a CMDB up and running within 48 hours. From personal experience, that's how long it took me to install the other product. Just install. We take data from each of these different components. We import it into Service Manager CMDB as a read-only copy, reconcile it together so that our users are looking at a single record of consolidated data. From Active Directory, we get user, group, computer, and printer information. And if you want to get information from other repositories, other third-party management tools or other line of business applications, SQL databases and the like, we can leverage Orchestrator, create a runbook to import that data into the CMDB and update it.
And schedule it to continue updating.
The key benefit here is you end up, the net result is a standardized repository of data that you can reference and use in delivering your services back to your customers. Key thing to note, if you want to change anything, change it at the source and let it flow into the CMDB. That's the way it was designed.
But the benefit of this one versus the other solutions is that the automation, right? You're already taking information that you already have somewhere else and representing it in one single tool, which is the real value. And truly with larger customers, because I've done quite large implementations, it is 48 hours and we have a CMDB up and running, right? And I've worked with another vendor, but it was a two-letter vendor. Mm-hmm. And did CMDBs from scratch, you know, did a lot of XML. But the nice thing is that this is all automated and you bring into one thing. But I want to add for asset intelligence, mm-hmm. right? If you want to get that relationship between the primary user of the machine and the computer to pop in an incident record, you have to have asset intelligence
correct.
Enabled. I learned that the hard way.
Yep. This allows you to identify who the, as Kathleen said, who the owner is of a particular machine that you're looking at, and you can then leverage that information. If that wasn't enough, you can do CSV data imports, write your own custom connector, or use PowerShell to build an integration. So not that we didn't already tell you enough options, there's more. So what does that look like? How about time? I'll just drive.
Sorry?
From a time standpoint, we're starting to run long. So first area I wanted to talk about is, and Kathleen's going to drive while I'm sort of talking here, is our connector framework. So we're going to go ahead and open up our Active Directory connector here. And creating these connectors is a simple point and click operation. So by bringing up our connectors, we can set the appropriate properties.
I'm clicking.
Okay. No, it's just thinking. Give it a
second.
There
it goes.
So here we have our Active Directory connector. And we can specify, first off, in this case for Active Directory, What's the domain we're connecting to? So we can connect, create a connector for multiple domains, and we can pull that data into the Service Manager CMDB. We can specify a specific one. We can specify the default one we're in. If we scroll down, we can also determine, we can specify what our credentials are. So again, remember, we're reading out of that external repository. We're not actually writing anything to it. So we're just reading the information out of it and populating it into the CMDB. Question, sir?
Sorry, just real quick question. As you're talking about entering in from multiple different domains, do they have to be in the same forest?
Yes. Yeah, that's one thing.
So the question was, because it was beaten into me to repeat questions, because the microphone's behind you, but I won't bug you about it this time. Okay. Yeah, so if you have a question, if you could use the microphones, because they are being recorded and you lose value, was that can you import Active Directory objects that aren't within the same forest?
Correct.
That aren't within the same forest?
Yeah. So you.
Or I heard the question differently. Can you create connectors across domains in the same forest?
Without not being in the same forest, multiple different forests.
Sorry, I missed that one.
Yeah, you can, as long as they're trusted.
Not trusted. Because if you're doing a connect as, mm-hmm. can you create multiple accounts to connect mm-hmm. as?
You can have multiple AD connectors.
Okay, so if I can connect to different forests with different connectors, that should work. Right?
Yeah, you would just have to have different accounts set up.
As long as the trusts are set up and you can connect to them. Yes.
Well, you have to trust it, but that's just logical AD stuff.
What if you don't want it?
Pardon?
What if you don't want it? What if you have an environment where you've got a production, let's say your public cloud,
yep.
and you don't want to have a trust with your internal private cloud?
Let's take that one specifically. Yeah, okay. We might take that one offline.
Yeah, you don't need a trust. So. I can just tell you how silly that, like, we can have a silly talk outside about that later on, okay? That's good, but no, a good question.
Yep. The other piece to note here is select objects. We have the ability to select multiple objects individually or select all. The benefit here is we can, as we create this connector and we roll this out into our environment, we can be as granular or as general as we choose. So the decision is yours on how you want to approach that.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and grab the
other thing is you have obsolete objects in Active Directory. You want to move them to a separate OU so you don't pull them in because it will skew things. Mm-hmm. So the next one we're going to look at is you want the Auth Manager.
Yeah. CI. The
Auth Alert
Manager
connector.
CI connector. Yeah.
So Sean's going to talk, there's two Ops Manager connectors.
So Operations Manager has two connectors. The first one is for grabbing configuration item data. The second one is used in grabbing and translating Operations Manager alerts into incidents inside a Service Manager. Now, I'll actually hold that one because I talk more about that in my session tomorrow. So I want to pull up the Orchestrator connector next.
Okay, because I was going to go to the CI connector. Yeah,
so one of the things I also talked about is not just configuration item data, but also Orchestrator runbook information. One of the challenges that we had with 2010 and Opalis is if you wanted to invoke a runbook from Service Manager, you essentially had to create the Opalis runbook, start it, and have a listener sitting out there waiting for an incident to show up or a request to show up in Service Manager, and then you could go do something with it. Now within Service Manager 2012, So within Service Manager and Orchestrator, we can actually automatically invoke an Orchestrator runbook from within a Service Manager incident, change, or service request, and automatically kick off that associated runbook. Here's how we do that. We bring that runbook information into Service Manager, and we can then reference that runbook information as an activity template inside a Service Manager, and call it as part of an activity inside of within a service request. We do that by specifying here the connection, what's the Orchestrator web service we're connecting to, what its database account. Go ahead and scroll down. And then we select its sync folder. In this case, I grab the root folder. So we can grab a specific set of runbooks in whatever folder we're at and everything below it.
And that if you have a web console, you are up.
And then the web console allows us to actually link out directly to the Orchestrator web console and view the status of a runbook while it's in flight. During a service request, we can check status. automatically link out to it. And we specify all that once, specify it here. The connector stays, keeps that information in sync between our runbook server, our orchestrator server, and Service Manager CMDB. So those are a couple examples of how we build our CMDB, grabbing information using our connectors, grabbing information about our runbooks, and pulling those into the CMDB. Again, those are automatically reconciled so that we have a single repository, a single record for configuration item data inside our CMDB.
And also, we skipped over it, but the Ops Manager CI connector.
Yes.
Right. So there's another thing, too. So if you have the SQL management pack deployed, you can import SQL databases to be managed as CIs in the Service Manager using the CI connector. Mm-hmm. There's also unidirectional, right? So it's just a pull for the CI connector, but the alert connector is bidirectional.
Correct. Excuse me. I want to move on. Sorry, quick question.
Yeah.
Good. Very good point.
Yeah, so the question was, do you have to import operations manager management packs into Service Manager? Yes, it's a two-step process. My favorite was read the manual. So it's one of those things is that you export the management packs out of operations manager, import them into Service Manager, both for the alert connector and the CI connector.
Correct. One thing also to know with that is as you import those, you have to import the dependencies at the same time. Doesn't do it automatically for you. So
there's a great blog post on the Service Manager blog of how to figure out what the dependencies of a management pack are. I don't know how many of you are consultants in the room, so you go into a customer site and you're just like, so what are your management pack dependencies? They're like, I don't know. So if they don't know, how are you going to figure it out? So go there. Travis did a blog post on that about 7 months ago. It's a good blog post. I recommend it. We have a question back there. You know what? You're going to have to walk over to a microphone because this is really loud. Sorry about that. There is one here, one at the back there.
Two in the front, two in the back, in the middle aisles.
Or you can yell. How loud can you yell?
I can yell.
Oh, good.
So with SCOM 2012, you have APM. So with that management pack, will it take the application as part of a CI and deliver it into Service Manager as well?
Are you talking about distributed applications and operations manager?
No, I'm just talking about application performance monitoring.
Application performance monitoring
within
SCOM, but you're monitoring something.
An application.
So that would be a distributed application inside of operations manager.
Okay.
And you still need the management pack dependencies for that one. That's a
great
biggie.
So you grab the distributed application you're monitoring in Operations Manager. You export that as its own management pack with the dependencies, dependent management packs, and you can import that into Service Manager, and you will see that particular application inside of Service Manager.
It actually shows up in the Service Manager CMDB as a service. So distributed applications that are exported in that management pack and operations manager, you import them into Service Manager as services, which are seen in the Service Manager CMDB.
Okay. Thank you.
Did I answer your question? Did we?
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Okay,
fantastic.
Thank you.
Thanks. Let's keep moving.
Yeah.
Once we have the data in our CMDB, we can now do something with it. How we do that is in a couple of areas. First area I want to share with everybody is what we call templates. Templates allow us to standardize and define beginning data values for requests, for incidents, for changes, for problems, anything inside a Service Manager. This is an example screenshot of a service request template where we can predefine things like the urgency, the priority, the source of where a service request came from. We can also predefine the activities that are executed as part of this service request. And I'll pull one up here shortly. This allows us to specify default values, specify default activities as part of delivering on a particular service request. So we know the same activities are done each time, every time. Helps us standardize data capture. We're always getting the right information we need every time we get the request.
And why would you want to standardize data capture? Audience, anybody know? Sorry? Yes, reporting, of course. Right? You want to standardize data capture for better reporting.
Exactly. Once we have that template, we then create what are called request offerings. A request offering is allows us to define what are the questions we want to ask an end user for an offering that we want to deliver to them. So as an example, and the one I often use is, I want to create a new virtual machine, or I want to create capacity in my cloud so that I can then provision virtual machines. We want to ask a series of questions, such as, what's the name of the virtual machine, or what's the cloud subscription you want to connect to? How much memory do you want in there? How much disk space do you want in there? Request offerings allow us to predefine those questions, predefine what information gets presented to a user, if we want to give them a menu to select from, if we want to ask them for a free text entry or a number, or select from a list, we can define all of that, and then we can map that information right through to the request fields, right through to the runbook variables, allowing us to pass information and link it automatically from the service catalog prompts all the way through to the automation activities. Key benefit here is the person that potentially touches your service request is the only person is the person that requested it. Everything else can be automated. Emphasis on it can be automated. Whether you choose to is your choice.
Part of it could be for your policies and your organization.
Exactly.
So if you were going to request a virtual machine in the test and development environment, it's probably a standard change and you don't need approval. But if you were to go into the production environment, you would probably want the environment owner or the service owner to validate or approve that request.
Last area is automation. Automation helps drive consistency. We're able to invoke workflow rules to do things like route requests for immediate action. We're able to link to process automation activities such as notification and assignments. And as I already mentioned, we can take those request offering prompts and pass them automatically to our systems automation tasks so that they can kick off and be invoked automatically for us. So, walking through our six-step process, we've just touched on the import, the build, and the publish aspects of delivering our request offerings to our end users. And now I'm going to actually flick back over to our demo environment, and we're going to show you some examples of what templates look like, our request offerings, and some of the automation that's used there. So the first area I want to show you is what it is, a template. So this is the Service Manager 2012 console, and I'm in my library in templates. And I'm just going to scroll down to, which one did I want?
Do you want to sort on management pack?
Sorry?
You can sort on management pack. That's my easy way to do it. I always cheat on that.
So here's an example. So I just created this one earlier today, just to give a quick view, and called it Quick Create New Virtual Machine. So I pull up my template, and I have my service request template here, and I've specified Quick Create New Virtual Machine. I pre-specified my urgency, priority, my source, and my classification or area. I also added in, actually didn't finish this one, but I added in an approval activity for this for an automatic approval, because this is really Quick Create. I'm going to have an activity that I want to capture an approval, but it's an automatic approval because it's a predefined change and it can go all the way through.
So this could be this template we're going to use for our test, our development environment. So it's predefined,
yep.
You just put it in there. It's a sandbox anyway. So we want to make sure that the system actually stamped at what time it was being approved.
Yep. Pull up another example template. This is provisioning our capacity, provision capacity template. I've got a series of four tasks automatically added. The point here is we can add, one, have as many templates as we choose. Two, we can define any number of activities, either parallel or sequential, for our specific service request templates so that we're always having the same activities run every time this template's used.
And again, the with mm-hmm. you'll see there at the beginning, there's a prefix before each one.
Yeah.
So like RA being a review activity, meaning an approval, MA manual activity, AKA tasks. It either, you know, you have to go and do something.
Exactly. So here we have an activity for assigning an approver. Yes, okay, go back. We then have our review activity for actually, so we assign who the approver is going to be. They then have to go in and approve that request for capacity. Then we have our provision activity, which actually kicks off and provisions our capacity into our cloud, private cloud environment.
Again, an opportunity for automation.
Exactly.
Right?
And then our access activity. So we've signed our approver, we have an approval step, provision step, and then once you've built something, you got to give somebody access to it. We have a final step to actually provision the access credentials for the user. This is an activity part of our cloud services process pack, but I'm getting ahead of myself. So that's a sample of a template. Let's go take a look at a request offering. Request offerings allow us to present to our end users options for them to select.
Plus allow you to put it on the portal.
And that allows you to put it on the portal and publish it to our service catalog.
Because you get service requests that aren't on the portal as well in Service Manager, right? Those could be ones that people call into a traditional help desk or log them in at the console. But you have to have a request offering to put it on the portal.
Yep. So here we have the various user prompts that we want to present to our customers for them to fill out. So we're asking for the title, what's their urgency, what project you or tenant are you associated with, what's the pool name we're going to give this, and then we start asking for specifics around storage capacity, memory, so on and so forth. Notice here we have different types of prompts that we can specify. We have query results, enumerated lists, simple text fields. This allows us to specify and deliver an array of prompts and present different types of information to our users. Once we define those prompts, we configure them for data validation rules, either the list that we're going to present. If we look at, in this case, we're selecting a particular project, we want to present a list of display name, description, code name, and contact email address. That's going to go run a query on our CMDB, pull that data back, and present it back in a list for our users to select. Benefits now of having our CMDB up to date, so we can grab that information, actually present it, and we know that it's accurate. Once our users have selected the information, we then take those responses and we map them to fields in our service request and our runbooks so that we can invoke the necessary automation to actually enable that provision activity automatically once the request is submitted. So that's our request offering. So we have our templates that standardize the activities we run. We have our request offerings that standardize what we're asking for and what's being selected by our users so that we can go and we can then provision those activities. Runbooks I'll get to.
That's your next demo.
That's the next step. Self-service. Second area we look at is the idea of self-service. Now that we've built everything up, we want to publish it and make it available to our end users. And we do that through our service catalog within Service Manager. Self-service is really about, we look at it from three perspectives. One is controlled empowerment, being able to take IT requirements, deliver them to our business users, and give them boundaries to work within and information that we're going to request on a regular basis so they can select it when they want and where they want and make the choices that's going to best fit their business. But we're able to control what they are actually able to select. Role-based means we make available requests based on who you are in the organization. Not every user is going to see every, or you may not want every user to see every request that is in your service catalog.
So you could have a business-facing service catalog and an IT-facing service catalog, if you can think about that. Because you don't want business people requesting virtual machines. That's something, you know, an IT person would do. So that's role-based. So you would permit them access via roles to those request offerings.
Okay. But key is from the same service catalog.
It is the same service catalog.
It's the same technology. You're not building up two separate ones. You're just enabling different role permissions depending on what type of offering you want to publish out.
Yeah, or whether or not that person pays for the service, right? Because there's a lot of services in the organization. Maybe I don't subscribe to these.
Yep. The last area is a simplified portal. You have played with the Service Manager 2010, it's the only time I'm going to mention it, self-service portal, first off, I am sorry.
Wasn't that our simplified portal?
Don't go there. And second, it's gone. Bye-bye. It's not there anymore. We have replaced that with a new Silverlight web parts-based portal hosted in SharePoint.
2010.
SharePoint 2010. SharePoint Foundation 2010. So if you don't have SharePoint, you can use Foundation. If you already have SharePoint Enterprise, great, you can use that too. But it's not a deployment inhibitor. You've got SharePoint Foundation, which is a free solution. But it's much, much nicer if you've not seen
it
already.
There's a question over here. Sorry. I was looking and I didn't look over there. I apologize.
Does this replace the need for the self-service portal that was in VMM?
Which one?
Neither one, any of them are good. So,
okay,
so
I actually,
this, I'm
no,
just
no,
repeat
if
the
I
question.
May. The question is, does this replace the need for the self-service portal in VMM? My first response was, okay, which one? Because there is the VMM self-service portal SP1 or 2.0 SP1 solution accelerator, and then there is the self-service portal for Virtual Machine Manager 2012. And then there is, that's why I said which one. I will preface that, just one from time, and two, this is a big, huge rat hole. I have a session Thursday called The Future of the SSP. Please come to that. You're all invited. Because I do have an entire session that actually talks about what we think about from self-service and what we look at from a self-service portal perspective, because there have been some changes with 2012.
There's a question right here.
Will that include multi-tenancy in the self-service?
So will that include multi-tenancy in self-service?
Not in not in the current 2012 release. The question is, will that include multi-tenancy, and will multi-tenancy ever be included? I can say this, we are actively considering and working on that right now. That's all I can say. Controlled empowerment is about provider-published, user-initiated. IT makes requests available to its users, gives the boundaries which they can work in, and lets them make the choice. It allows us to really express IT needs in business language. So we can make our requests, simplify the language, get the information we need from our customers, and then go build what we need to build. It allows for consistent delivery of each service each time and every time. This is really key. Customers get a consistent experience from IT. How many times have even you yourselves called up IT service desk? First time you ask the same question two different times and got two different answers, or got two different sets of questions asked back at you, they weren't even the same. This enables the user, the consumer, to choose what, and also choose what level of service and cost that they desire for that particular request. So you can provide options for gold, silver, bronze with three different costs and let the user choose what they want, knowing full well that if they choose the gold, that's fine. You want 5-9's availability? I know, yes. We can give it to you. Here's the price tag it's going to cost, and they can make the choice if they actually want that. But you can present those up front instead of the old conversations of, okay, when do you want it? I want it now. How often do you want it available? All the time. Are you willing to pay that? No. Okay.
Something's got to give. But if we could just go back just to explain the idea about the service requests. The catalog is the way you would organize the requests based on services that you offer. And then, you know, some people pick into your cloud services. What can I do as a consumer of that service? Can I make a request? Can I log an incident? Right? And it allows you to group it. Two questions or one? Just one? Oh, no, I thought the fellow in front of you, you were blinded by the slide?
Go ahead.
Just a quick question. Is that service request portal search enabled?
Is it search enabled? Let's get onto the demo.
The service request portal search related?
Search enabled.
Search enabled. Could you give me an example?
I think so. Let's actually try that.
Yeah,
when we get
try
over to
that
the demo.
On the demo.
In addition to the portal, we have what are called service offerings. Service offering is nothing more than a container object into which you put one or more request offerings. You can associate a service offering with a particular business service inside or service within Service Manager. But it allows you to group request offerings together and categorize them, and I'll show you what those look like. I mentioned role-based. Role-based, very simply, we can make different types of requests and offerings available to different types of users, depending on who you are. This is based on Active Directory, and there's a blog posting coming out shortly that actually is going to articulate specifically how you do this. Because when you create your request or service offering, you create a catalog offering group, which is part of Active Directory. You map that to a Service Manager user role group inside a Service Manager, which is then synchronized into Active Directory. And it's a little three-step process to actually get that set up. And the last area is the simplified portal. Silverlight Web Parts hosted in SharePoint 2010 or higher. They are customizable, if you so choose. And there's actually a couple of blog posts about how to create custom web parts.
And a plug for my customer session tomorrow at 5:30, Birds of Feather. They're going to actually show their customized Service Manager 2012 portal.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So one of the pieces that we, in creating all of this, that we are bringing out shortly to make this easier for our customers is something called the Cloud Services Process Management Pack. This is a free downloadable solution accelerator. You go to Microsoft.com, go to the Service Manager component download page. There'll be a link to this off of it. Right now it says coming soon. We are building and providing out-of-the-box request offerings, service offerings, and automation to actually enable you to provision new cloud capacity for your customers inside of your private cloud and provision virtual machines within that capacity environment. Look at this as almost a replacement capability for what was VMM SSP 2.0. What we include is some model extensions and views, so we introduced this concept of a tenant, or what used to be called a business unit in Virtual Machine Manager, a subscriber or a subscription, cost centers, logical networks. We are bringing out about over 20 service request templates, associated request offering templates, and the service offerings. You just connect them together and publish. And the automation to actually provision those automatically for you. So the benefit is this will, you can either build your own, or we'll be bringing out this to get you up and running. And I'm actually going to show a couple of examples of what that looks like. Very quickly, what the cloud services process flow looks like is you have a project administrator, project user, and your service provider. We have service manager, operations manager, orchestrator, virtual machine manager, and app controller. We configure and manage the fabric. The service provider does that inside of virtual machine manager, sets up our environment. We then configure our connector from into operations manager and orchestrator to get data about our environments into Service Manager. That also includes Virtual Machine Manager. We import our process management pack to get everything set up. Our project administrator requests a new project or creates a new tenant inside of our private cloud. That gets approved. That approval can be either manual or automatic. They then create a request for capacity inside that particular tenant environment, create a new capacity subscription. Again, that provisioning can either be based on approval or happen automatically, your choice. The capacity is assigned, and the user then accesses their capacity, their cloud capacity through App Controller, or they can then also request virtual machines be deployed into that environment. You can actually also choose Do you want to allow people to create their own without the need for using Service Manager? In other words, remove process control if you so choose, or you can enforce people to request and go through the request process for provisioning their own capacity. That's approved. Orchestrator then builds and creates all the runbooks, creates our virtual machines, and you're off and running. So note, number of these areas that we're going to be building, there's opportunities for either having process control or not having process control. There are configuration steps. The choice is yours as a customer. We're building all the automation for you to enable it from a process and system standpoint. You turn on what you want, when you want, to have the level of control that you desire or that your business requires. The catalog request offerings, as I mentioned, create and update tenants, create and update subscriptions, create and update virtual machines, decommission, because you got to turn stuff off, deploying new services, basic chargeback / showback capabilities will be coming, as well as in the form of reporting, using our data warehouse capabilities and providing some, I think, pretty slick reports through the OLAP cubes that are part of Service Manager 2012. So through our six-step process, we talked about importing, building, publishing, how we go about creating these request offerings, and how you can go about accessing that through our service catalog. Let's now show you what that looks like.
Are we going to request a virtual machine on the Service Manager portal?
Are we? I don't know.
So that would be great.
Here is our new service catalog and our new service request portal. Again, Silverlight Web Parts hosted in SharePoint. We have our service offerings. And I have a couple of just different little groupings that I've set things up. So cloud services, client machine services, general services. So this can be a true service catalog for your organization to group not just private cloud data center related offerings, but anything related for your organization. I'll go ahead into my infrastructure services. And
it's going.
I took too long, it went to sleep. There we go. And here I have my different request offerings that I've made available.
The other interesting thing you can see to the right of that too, Sean, which you clicked off of very quickly,
I'm
is
sorry.
You can have knowledge articles associated with services as well, which, you know, depending on your audience, of course, you'll have to write them appropriately, but you can have like knowledge articles for help, self-service, depending if you have power users or not in your organization.
So in this case, I'm going to open up the request for cloud subscription because I want to provision, get some capacity for my users provisioned in my private cloud. So I'll go to my request form, and if you remember the prompts that I talked about earlier, here's how they're presented. No coding, create the prompts, they're presented back to you, automatically generated in a easy to navigate form. So request
And you did talk about validation too, right? And you can actually do validation in data entry as well on the service request form, the service manager portal.
Yeah. So we have different options that we can select here. So I had a simple enumerated list. But I have low, medium, high, immediate. I want this now.
Yeah. Can't wait.
I have a project listing. That's a query list that I can select from, and I only have one option, so I'm going to select that. I'm going to give it a name. So we'll call this our Contoso Limited capacity pool. And I want maximum storage, let's see, we'll say 500 gigs. It's a small one. Now, each of these values I can enter in, or I could simply consolidate them and create a pick list to allow people to select what do I want your bronze, silver, gold options for your capacity. So here I'm giving the option to select what people want. So I want 512 gigs of RAM. I'm going to allow them to create a total of 12 virtual machines. And I want 8 CPUs. I have another selection list here. What type of virtual machine template do I want to offer to my users to select and provision machines from? So I'm just going to say you can create SQL tiers and a bare metal. I can specify specific logical networks.
Again, this wouldn't go to your business user in your organization. This is for the the IT user.
Yep.
Your IT professional.
I then have storage. I'll just say local storage. Actually, no, we did say this is development environment. I'll select development environment. I can pre-select service templates that I want to allow them to then deploy into that environment. So I might select my customer demographics and a base service template. If I have a load balancer, I might select that. Particular placement tag, I'll say this is staging. Now, going back to the gentleman's question over here about searching, if you have an enumerated or a query list inside of the request, you can search for those here in the menu options yourself. I think what you were getting at is, can I select or search for a particular request offering? Let's go back and take a look at that when I'm done here.
And we actually have another question here up front. You want to ask it now?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the question is, can I, as part of selecting values, change the values of what's showing up in follow-on selection offerings? And unfortunately, the answer is no, you can't. Not at this point in time. What you could do is specify those ahead of time so that you select certain request offerings that might be for your development environment and filter them that way. But we don't have the smarts built into the request offerings at the moment to change what values show up based on a previous prompt's answer.
And I've seen the challenges with that too, is like you can have just so multiple variations. It's like truly being able to sit down and look at, okay, what are my environments? What can I offer my request on and standardize and write that down first? That would probably do it. But that would be a nice thing to have. It would be, definitely. I would say you would have to be very mature from a cloud perspective to be able to know what to pull back on that. But yeah, that's a great idea.
Last area I mentioned is, do you want to allow users to select and create virtual machines using Service Manager or not using Service Manager? So to give them a little bit more freedom, and you can specify that here.
Tell them no. Sorry.
Why? No. They have to request.
No, they can't.
I'm going to say yes, they have to request them. And now, who am I going to give it to? So I'll just say Contoso Cloud Users. Is a group that I know is already there. Now, I entered that manually. You can very easily just pick from a selection list and specify those. I get to review my answers, hit submit, and my service request will be created here, a little bit not as quick.
But. And a nice little a la carte thing is, too, is I could now, you as the requester, send an email with you with all those details that you saw in the summary and send it to you in an email as well. So that's a nice little notification you can do after the request has been submitted. Thank you for your request. Here's what you requested. And then notification also to go to the approver at the same time when the request is submitted to approve that activity.
Absolutely. And the process automation kicks off for notification, for approval, for assignment, and for the automation. Here we have the request that's been created. I can go back and view the updates to this from within my portal at any time that I wish. Just going into my requests, it'll pull up my particular service request, and I can view updates, notes that have been made to the action log. I can converse and add my own updates into that log saying, hey, can I get an update here, please? If I haven't seen anything for a while. But because we have the automation in place, what is taking us a little bit here is it's actually starting to think through, who am I going to assign this to? What automation is going to be done here? How do we start provisioning this capacity? Who's got to approve it?
And that's driven, again, when Sean mentioned earlier, was the templates and service manager, right?
Absolutely.
So even those different activities that you defined within the service request could be based in themselves, those activities could be templates. Right? So if you're provisioning networking, you would have an activity provision network would be assigned to the network team, and they would provision the network.
Yep. Question right here, sir.
So if I can configure, like, let's just say a gold machine, and that machine is
Yep.
The user would get. But then the next prompt is an override to something that's in that gold, like they want more memory. So the gold image comes with, you know, 2 gig of memory, a 2 gig partition for hard disk. But then one of the other options after that is to select, I want more memory, so I want 4 gig. And have that override. So then again, the logic when it's going through there, it knows that they've selected more memory now. If they don't select anything there, it just goes on and takes what's in the gold.
Yep. So, if I may, for everybody, yeah. The question was, can I specify an option that they select, say, a gold, silver, or bronze, they select a gold configuration, but then make or add changes to that? So ask for more memory than what's standard. Yes, the answer is yes. You can have that option to select, okay, here's the gold option. You might have a follow-on prompt that says, do you want a different memory configuration than what's standard, and have a number field. That they can either, you can either say yes or no, and then a follow-on field, what's the value that you select. Now, again, you can't dynamically change those values, as I mentioned to this gentleman's question over here, but you can build that process into the request and grab the information as needed and then map it all the way through.
The only challenge is if you're going to state SLAs for set and you can't automate that, I would be very careful with that. I know I see one of my customers in the back corner there, he's got his arms crossed, but when we did the private cloud there, it's like you can have small, medium, and large, and an SLA within 48 hours can be tied to that a la carte, right?
Yep.
Because it depends on your level. Can you pass value back and forth to the orchestrator, run books to actually do that? Then you could automate that and keep it within the same SLA. But truly, when you're going to the cloud, it's ruthless standardization in order to get the best results in automation. Can we quote me on that later?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. You tweeting that?
Yes. So, if we may take that same scenario and adjust it slightly, you have 4 request offerings: a gold request offer, or 4 options: gold, silver, bronze, or custom. So they can either select one of the 3 standardized offerings, or if they want a custom offering, which may be based off of one of the standard ones and then just tweaked. You can set all of those up, and then to Kathleen's point, build the associated SLAs for each individual type of request. Benefit there is you ensure standardization, but you also cater for those, what I sometimes call those special requests from our customers, because they think they want something more than just the standardized configuration.
They're a little more important. But again, just be careful about that, because there is the people aspect of moving to the cloud and trying to get people who've been used to, you know, spinning up their own VMs and setting all the sets. If you're going to go with standardization, right, there is a cultural change that you have to do that, but it's for the goodness. It's to allow you to automate. It's allowed you to have consistent service results.
Okay, let's keep going.
Yeah.
Automation, last area. Automation is about 2 areas, process and systems automation. We talked about process automation, so no more of that. We'll talk about systems or technology automation. For the purposes of fulfillment, I spend more time talking about remediation tomorrow in my session. Excuse me, sorry. Automation starts with integration. We talked about the integration using our connector framework and I'm going to expand that a little bit more here. Integration within System Center 2012 leverages Orchestrator and Service Manager. As I mentioned, first off, for pulling data in from our other components in Service Manager, in System Center, into Service Manager, reconciling those and developing our central view. Once we have that information, we can do something with it. And we can actually invoke activities primarily from Orchestrator out to other components in System Center or other line of business applications, or third-party management tools to actually perform specific activities or tasks in those other systems. Integration also is involved, and I'll touch on this more tomorrow, from a reporting and dashboarding perspective within System Center, specifically using Service Manager's data warehouse. That you have to come to my session tomorrow. The connector framework provides integration for primarily inbound visibility of what's happening in our environment. There are certain cases, like with Operations Manager alerts and DCM non-compliance incidents, where we get we can actually push updates outward. But connectors are primarily used for inbound knowledge, whether through Configuration Manager, Operations Manager, Active Directory, Virtual Machine Manager, Orchestrator, so on and so forth. Key point, as I already mentioned, connectors are for inbound, reading information into the CMDB, and getting data for data, and again, also for, I've neglected to include exchange, for notifications using the exchange connector, but that also takes inbound communications. Orchestrator integration packs, little shift here. Orchestrator's integration packs provide capabilities for outbound activities, either out from Service Manager and Orchestrator to other System Center components or outside of System Center to other third-party management tool components. A couple of concepts around automation if you've not played with Orchestrator yet. We have what are called activities. Activities are intelligent tasks that perform a predefined action, like run a .NET script, run a PowerShell script, create a virtual machine, create an incident. They are pulled together to create what are called runbooks. Runbook is a workflow of activities connected together to perform a specified task within your organization, such as create a new virtual machine, or provision a new service template, or provision or automatically remediate website errors. We have something called a data bus inside of Orchestrator. The data bus allows us to pass information from any activity along to any other activity inside of our runbook so that we don't have to constantly go back to the data source and collect information or write to global variables or do any fancy information. Any activity that contains information along our runbook, we can reference it anywhere else in that activity as long as it's downstream in the runbook. I'll show you what those look like. And we ship, as part of Orchestrator, a number of standardized activities out of the box to start allow you to start building Orchestrator runbooks, building workflows in your organization. How you build those? The Runbook Designer is a simple authoring and debugging tool. It's drag and drop. If you've ever built a Visio diagram, you can build an Orchestrator runbook. I think so.
Yeah, you kind of oversimplified it.
There's a little bit more to it, yes. Okay, fair enough. But if you want to, drag, drop, place information on this for your workflow, yes. We ship over 20 integration packs for System Center, Microsoft, and third-party management tools. The standard activities here's a number of activities that support being able to help deliver in private cloud offerings, but also just perform and create runbooks, monitoring processes, sending notifications, manipulating text files, managing workflows, interacting with other components of System Center. If there isn't one there, great. You can build your own if you so choose using the Orchestrator Integration Toolkit. I often ask people and let them know ahead of time, hey, if you're going to build your own, first question I want to ask you is, do you have what you already want to do already written in either an API program, a .NET script, or a PowerShell script? If the answer is yes to any one of those three, don't bother rebuilding an integration pack because we can call any one of those three from a standard activity inside of Orchestrator. So save your time, build the runbook, call that actual external command, pass the variables, and go from there. Question over here, sir.
Can a runbook call a runbook?
Yep.
Yes.
Can you still call a runbook?
Yep. Like a dog chasing its tail, yes.
As I mentioned, yeah. If you can run it, if you've got it in a .NET script, a program, SSH command, PowerShell script, API, we can actually call it from within an Orchestrator runbook already. And these are standard activities. Microsoft Runbook Integration Packs exist for 2007 System Center products, VMM 2008, System Center 2010 products, Service Manager and Data Protection Manager, and everything is part of the System Center 2012 solution set, as well as Active Directory.
This MMS, we're going to simplify and have just 2012, and we won't have 2008, 2007, 2010.
No, there's everything for the 2012 stack, and then there is legacy components, the previous versions, as well as Active Directory and a number of third-party management tools. What this allows us to do from our for our organization is take a simple process such as a self-service request fulfillment, creating request, approvals, the creating the CIs in the CMDB, provisioning that actual piece of infrastructure, setting permissions, updating our CMDB, notifying requesters, and closing our record, our service request. That whole process can be as automated or as manual as you choose. Using Service Manager, using Orchestrator, you can automate the service request part, the approval part, the notifications part, and then manually build your virtual machine, or interact with Virtual Machine Manager and build it yourself, or using Orchestrator Runbooks, we can provision that, build that virtual machine automatically and actually show you a simple runbook that does that. One thing I wanted to share with you, who's seen the server aquarium downstairs? Two machines with a big 3-par storage array in the middle. Guess how that was built? Using HP's integration pack, Virtual Machine Manager 2012, and Orchestrator. Built the whole hands-on lab environment. Deng Hong, who's the HP engineer who built it, was very excited about it, and I was telling me about this, and that this is the actual runbook that he built to do this. Calls a couple of .NET scripts and PowerShell scripts, but it's 7 steps. And he used it and provisioned the whole environment that you guys are running your labs off of downstairs. So he's down there. Go talk to him. He's written a whole white paper on it as well to be able to access that. But it was really slick what they built there, not to mention the 60 or 85,000 IOPS that you get out of that 3-part environment. But so walking through our process, import, build, publish, create, invoke. Last one, monitor. Just in the interest of time, I'll quickly show.
Well, there is sessions on Orchestrator too.
There is a session on Orchestrator, but I'll really show quickly. Here's the Orchestrator console. Here's a simple runbook that initializes my data, gets my service request information, grabs my virtual machine template from my service request that I specify, and creates a virtual machine. You want to provision a virtual machine and put it in the service request? 4 steps. And the first one is actually setting up the environment variables that you have to pass into the Orchestrator runbook. That's how simple we make it.
Yeah, we have a question right here, and I think one behind it. Yes?
We already have the latest version of 4.12.
Mm-hmm. So that the question is, if you have some System Center 2012 components in place, can you upgrade a couple or a few components at a time?
Yes.
There are certain components that aren't upgrades; they're migrations.
We're going to migrate
SCCM. VMM is a migration. Will be a migration. You will want to stand up. And come to my session on Thursday because I actually talk about how you can actually do that. So just to finish up, monitoring for progress in Service Manager, Orchestrator, the self-service portal, or via email notifications, and that's it. We've talked about standardizing our offerings, standardizing our service request and automation activities. We walked through our entire process here, and we're done. Thank you.